Hello everybody. We are now roughly midway through our discussions on this chapters in the book, and we can now venture into an area which is slightly different from the normal logistics management that we have spoken about. Different not conceptually, but different from a content perspective. We would in the 11th chapter study a subject of logistics called cold chain management. Now, this is logistics, absolutely pure logistics. In simple terms, we are going to look at the intricacies, details of how to handle cold chain logistics in the overall supply chain. So, here it goes. Definition and meaning, very simple, it's logical, we have just defined it for the sake of definition. Cold chain refers to the management of temperature sensitive products as they move through the supply chain. So, what we understand is any product, any goods which requires a particular temperature range, especially the cold part. Here we are not talking about the extreme temperatures, the extreme cold temperatures, not the extreme hot temperatures, which need cold temperatures of a particular fixed range throughout their life cycle. So, we are talking about products, it can be food products, it can be pharma products. These are the two major grocers in this category. So, pharma and food. So, it is used to help extend and ensure the shelf life of products such as fresh agricultural products, seafood like fish, frozen food, lot of processed food is available today which is frozen. Unless they are frozen and kept in that ambient temperature, it would become bad, it would become harmful for human consumption. So, frozen food, chemicals and other pharmaceutical drugs. Now, what is cold chain or temperature controlled pharmaceuticals? Cold chain refers to the process used to maintain optimal conditions during the transport, storage and handling of vaccines, starting from the manufacture and ending with the administration of the vaccine to the client. So, if we are talking about pharma products like insulins, vaccines, they need to be kept in a range of +2 to +8 degrees centigrade throughout this life cycle. Now, logistics particularly is more bothered with the outbound part, they're more bothered with the distribution part. But for cold chain, the job starts right from the time the product takes birth, right from the time it is manufactured and packed. It has to be treated in a very special manner. It has to be continuously in the plant, in the central warehouse, in the DCs, everywhere it goes, it has to be kept in 2 to 8 degrees centigrade. Even the transportation, both primary as well as secondary, needs to happen within this particular temperature range. We'll see how that happens. For frozen vaccines, the optimum temperature is either minus 15 or lower. So, there are certain vaccines which have to be kept at minus 15 degree or lower. So, as you can understand, each, you will not rarely have one infrastructure which will have all the temperature ranges. So, you will have specific coolers, specific refrigerators, specific cold rooms which will have one temperature range. You will have another kind of machine which will ensure that it's always below freezing, below 0 degrees temperature. So, you will have different infrastructure, you will have different kinds of transportation mechanisms to ferry these goods throughout their life cycle. Now, importance of maintaining the cold chain. So, the cold chain management, it starts from temperature control, you have the systems, you have transport, you have production. So, throughout the life cycle, throughout the whole life cycle of the product till it reaches the final consumer, the temperature has to be maintained. Now, here lies the challenge. As an organization, you might have good systems to maintain the temperature, but you have to look for the final customer or the consumer who is the consuming the last point of the, you know, the transaction. There, you, for let's say for pharmaceutical products or even food products, it comes to the smallest unit, the last leg of the distribution, the chemist or the small locality shop who has a freezer wherein this products like an ice cream or a frozen barbecue product has to be kept. Now, at that point, the organization does not have a total control or visibility into the kind of infrastructure that that person has. So, if that person does not keep the correct infrastructure, despite taking care of the whole cycle at the last leg, you might compromise on the efficacy of the product. We have noted in earlier years, it might also be happening today, where a particular shop owner, he might have a tendency to switch off his cooling system at the night during winter, for example. He thinks, okay, it's quite cold outside, why do I waste my electricity by running this cooler? Why it consumes a lot of units? So, let me just switch it off. When I come back tomorrow morning, I'll again switch it on. Now, that can be disastrous. So, as logistics professionals, it is not only our job to look at the infrastructure and the systems that the organization has, we also need to look beyond at the overall, the whole distribution system, and try to plug the loopholes by good education, communication, that such practices, such malpractices need to stop. Now, companies handling transport of life science products are evolving a body of knowledge and rules coming to be known as good distribution practices. Like you have heard about the GMP, most probably good manufacturing practices. Like here similarly, we are also talking about the good distribution practice. The better logistics and services companies will have GMP compliant processes in place throughout their entire supply chain. So, good GMP would also include a lot on the distribution part, the warehousing part as well. Maintaining the potency of vaccines is important for several reasons. So, here we are talking about vaccines, but take this to be a more generic term, meaning all products which require cold chain facilities. Vaccine failures caused by administration of compromised vaccine may result in the re-emergence or occurrence of vaccine preventable disease. So, as I was saying, this is a matter of great concern because you are risking the efficacy of the drug. For a food product, similarly, you are risking. So, you eat something which was not properly maintained, you might get gastroenteritis, which might be a risk to your life. You might get diarrhea, other things. So, it is very important that cold chain facilities are properly and correctly maintained. Vaccines are expensive and can be, there might be a short supply. Revaccination of people who have received an effective vaccine is professionally uncomfortable and may cause a loss of public confidence in vaccines or the healthcare system. So, you really cannot do that. You give vaccine only once in a lifetime of a person or once as per the dosage norms. So, that's why the back end, the infrastructure has to be very, very robust. The principal aim of cold chain management is the optimization of product quality and product safety and minimization of wastage. This is important in the supply of vaccines to distant clinics in hot climates, served by poorly developed transport networks. So, when we are looking at transport networks, it's also important to have a system in which either you have a transporter or a transport vehicle, small or big, which is cold chain operated. You have trucks, refrigerated trucks, the reefer containers, which are like air conditioned vans. If we do not have that, then especially for the secondary part where you have small products traveling distances, it's also recommended and it has to be used wherein you pack it in like thermocol boxes and you put coolants you know, liquid chemicals which can maintain a cold temperature for up to a period of 48 hours or more. So, in that case, it is important that the material has to be delivered within that particular time, else the cold effect, you know, it's reduced and you don't get the benefit. The effective cold chain, three main elements combine to ensure proper vaccine transport, storage and handling. Vaccine is, you know, you will hear this word vaccine a lot of times during in the presentation in the book. For better understanding, vaccine is just the main, the most important perhaps product which is transported through cold chain, but it cold chain is not limited to vaccine. Vaccine is one of the main components which is carried or transported through cold chain. There are other things like life saving insulin drugs, blood clotting products, you have food products, etc. Training the personnel to carry out such operations, transport and storage equipment, the infrastructure, efficient management procedures. Now, well, first thing and a very important thing in ensuring that the cold chain of an organization is effective is to have training, a good and proper training curriculum and personnel. All new staff that handle or administer vaccines should be trained in proper vaccine storage and handling practices. This should not also be limited to all new recruits. Existing people should continuously, the reinforcement should happen from the top. The head of the supply chain or logistics should take the initiative to ensure that even modern equipments which are coming in, like what is available to a cold chain operation in this year, you will get certain advances happening next year. So, that knowledge should continuously be updated. Refresher training sessions should be held annually for all staff. Now, what are the vaccine storage and handling protocols? Bar fridges are unsuitable for storing vaccines and cyclic defrost fridges are not recommended. The refrigerator temperature should be checked and recorded twice daily. Backup minimum maximum thermometer or data logger in the refrigerator is recommended. So, we are talking about the devices inside the cold temperature maintaining device, whether it is a refrigerator or it is a big walk-in cooler. That the temperature to record data should be maintained properly and the record should be maintained at least twice daily, so that if there is any fluctuation, it can immediately be brought to the notice. Big walk-in coolers, you know, which are like companies like Blue Star have big walk-in coolers wherein it's like a room. In the entire room is air conditioned. You walk in the room, you keep your stocks. These rooms, in terms of logging temperature, there is another good facility that the temperature inside the room is displayed at the outer part of the walk-in cooler. So, you can keep a walk-in cooler inside a normal warehouse which does not have air conditioning, and walking from outside, you can see what is the current temperature inside the walk-in cooler. Vaccine products that have similar packaging should be stored in different locations to avoid confusion and errors. Vaccines that have similar surrounding names should be stored at different locations. The location of each specific vaccine inside the storage unit should be clearly labeled. Now, the storage of non-pharma, let's say non-vaccine products, and the storage of other products which also need cold chain should not be mixed with each other. Food or beverage should never be stored inside vaccine or other medicine storage units. Whenever possible, medications and other biological products should not be stored with vaccines. Storing non-vaccine items results in frequent opening of the storage unit door. So, the principle remains the same. It's like your refrigerator in your house. The number of times you open and close it, the cooling gets hampered and your bill increases. So, for such products which require good storage conditions, frequent opening and closing of the door is not recommended. This results in greater chance for temperature instability and excess exposure to light. Now, again, here you see we are telling the requirement or the need of not only a cold temperature that should exist, we are also talking about absence of sunlight. So there is no point that you keep a cooler in a warehouse, but you have sunlight falling on the outsides of the cooler, which inhibit its capability to cool. So not only do the products need to be away from sunlight, they also need to be in a cold temperature. So both are required. It may also result in spills and contamination inside the compartment. So these are some of the do's and don'ts, like, you know, check the log, only vaccines, store vaccine in the front unit, etc. So such, you know, precautions need to be taken. Now this is a very, very small example. You will have actually much, much bigger storage space for vaccines. So they are, like as I said, places where you can actually walk in, do your stock take, counting, material being put in, out, etc. Now, in order to ensure that the cold chain structure works, it's very logical and a matter of common sense that you need to have good equipments and supplies to make this network run. The vial or the bottle that contains the pharmaceutical tablets or liquid is the primary packaging. So even if you see the vaccines, they also are in small vials, or injections, etc. They are kept in small vials, so they need to be of good quality. The paperboard carton that contains the bottle and the medical information sheets is the secondary packaging. The corrugated box complete with insulation, refrigerative gel packs and other protections is the tertiary or the shipping packaging. This we are talking about when you are taking the material out from the, say, the refrigerated container and putting it to the outside world for transportation. Testing shipping containers is often a part of what is called stability testing phase of a drug product, when it is kept at a specified temperature for a year or more and then tested for potency. Now there are certain standard operating procedures here, the SOPs. SOPs detail roles and responsibilities of each person and all the people responsible for maintaining the cold supply chain. It sets up the essential plans for mitigating and overcoming hurdles to fast and efficient cold chain service. The most effective SOPs are those that are developed between all relevant stakeholders, namely the shipper, the forwarder, and the carrier. So we are saying that the logistics network within the organization and the external partners need to talk to each other, especially when they are handling a sensitive product like a cold chain product. So they must all be on same page as to what are the do's and don'ts, what are the emergency contact numbers, whom to contact in case something out of the ordinary happens. Written SOPs are useful for reference, training and evaluation and should be included in the routine vaccine storage and handling protocols. Now, what is cold chain distribution? Cold chain refers to the time and temperature management of temperature sensitive products as they move through the supply chain. Cold chain management provides patient safety and product integrity. It also provides for regulatory compliance, process optimization and cost optimization. The cold chain is a shared responsibility between the manufacturer and the transporter that begins from the time a vaccine is manufactured and ends only when the vaccine is administered to the patient. Here also, reverse logistics, although not very common and should not be encouraged, is also important. If for some reason you have, for example, send a wrong product to the wrong distributor. You had to send vaccine A to distributor, you have sent vaccine B. Then the distributor might want to return it. Now then, how do you manage this reverse logistics? That's also important because it's finally your product. In this tussle between who is right and who is wrong, the product quality cannot be compromised. The distribution process must be validated to ensure that there is no negative impact to the safety, efficacy or quality of the drug substance. Now the SOP should also specify that the vaccine need to be attended to at all times during transport, not literally meaning that you have to take care of the vaccine in the sense that you have to keep them under constant watch, but the fact that they can never be left unattended, which might compromise the quality and safety of the product. It should not be placed in the trunk of the vehicle, delivered directly to the facility. It should be promptly unpacked and placed in appropriate storage units upon arrival, meaning that unlike other non-temperature sensitive products, vaccines and other related pharma products which need say plus 2 to plus 8 degree storage, when they are unloaded from a refrigerated container and they are put into the cold rooms, the gap between both these activities should be absolutely minimum. It should not lie at the normal temperature for more than 10 or 15 minutes at the most. The operation of cold chain, it includes various phases. Firstly, the shipment preparation. Cold chain devices are commonly designed to keep a temperature constant, but not to bring a shipment to this temperature so that they would be unable to perform adequately if the shipment is not prepared and conditioned. The choice of mode here, there are not too many flexibilities. We do not have cold chain moving through the train, at least not in India. Several key factors play into how a shipment will be moved: distance between the origin and the final destination, the size and weight of the shipment, the required exterior temperature environment, and any time restrictions of the product all affect the available transportation options. For domestic, it's mostly refrigerated containers, cold chain tertiary packaging, which is commonly used. For international air cargo, special types of packaging and coolants are available, which keep the temperature inside the pack at the desired level for a period of more than 4 or 5 days. Custom procedures, the difficulty of this task differs depending on the nation and the gateway, since there are variations in procedures and delays. The last mile, the last stage, which is the actual delivery of the shipment to its destination, which in logistics is often known as the last mile. This is the most challenging part, because here you are doing the last bit. You might not have the most advanced cold chain vehicles, etc., do the delivery. So you will have only the tertiary packing to take care of it. So the logistics manager should ensure that the last mile operation should not throw up an unnecessary hitch, which can compromise the good work of all the earlier stages. Integrating the quality assurance, this is the step of the logistics process that creates trust and accountability, particularly if liability of a damaged shipment is incurred. Now, all this means that it is very important that the audit of the cold chain transportation happens. Audit in the sense, the fact that during a transit, let's assume from Mumbai to Guwahati, which is say 15 days, when you have a refrigerated container moving, you need to have devices to monitor the temperature inside the truck for this whole 15 days. So for that, various instruments are available. The most important and commonly used is the data loggers. Digital data loggers are miniature, battery powered, standalone temperature monitors that records hundreds or thousands of temperature readings. They can indicate when the exposure occurred and how long the vaccines were exposed to, you know, exceptional temperatures. Data loggers may be single use only, or they may be of multiple use. Now, these are instruments which can be put inside a particular cold chain unit, and when it reaches the destination, it can be downloaded. There are cables, you can attach it to your computer and take a download of the data throughout that journey. So it will show you on the various hours on each day how the temperature inside the truck moved. In case there is a breach, and if the quality control or quality assurance department of the company says that the breach actually compromised the vaccines or the material inside, then it will be needed to be incinerated and not risked by putting it into the distribution channel. RFID, the radio frequency identification device, is the wireless non-contact use of RFID magnetic fields to transfer data for the purposes of automatically identifying and tracking tags attached to the objects. Strip monitors are battery powered single use units that record continuous temperature readings. temperature on a paper strip and may be used to monitor vaccine temperatures during transport. Chart recorders, it consists of graphs, wheel with replaceable graph paper and ink pens. Minimum and maximum thermometers. Minimum maximum thermometers are available for fluid filled and digital forms. Temperature fluctuations outside the recommended range can be detected. Now, this and both the digital thermometers, they are more useful for static temperature control. For moving temperature control, where the number of readings etcetera need to be monitored, data loggers are a better option. Now, what is a cold chain breach? It's nothing but that exceptional and unwanted period where the temperature that came out was more than what was expected. A cold chain breach occurs when the temperature falls outside the recommended zone. If it is 2 to 8, recommended. If it is a minus 15 degree or lower, if the temperature is, you know, higher than minus 15, then it's again a breach. Common breaks in the cold chain occur through refrigeration failure, power outage, overheating of vehicles. Now, this is even more challenging in a country like India, because you can have you know, issues with the generator. I have myself faced circumstances when a transporter has called up that his generator has failed in the truck and the driver did not have money to buy diesel to run the generator again. What do you do in such cases? Secondly, in India there are especially a lot of delays in the roads, there are numerous checkposts and vehicles have to wait. Now, for such unnecessary delays, if the infrastructure in the truck is not capable of handling the cold chain, then there is a risk to the material. Thirdly, when you are using secondary transport of cold chain, wherein you are relying on the you know, chill packs etcetera to keep the temperature down, even in those cases, if the courier or the delivery partner delays in delivery, you might have an issue wherein the temperature inside your, you know, cold chain pack goes higher than what is desired, which can compromise. So all these need to be controlled and monitored. Protocols, immediately isolate the vaccines within the refrigerator and label do not use. Report to the regional immunization coordinator if there is one, and also to the company's quality department. Investigation to correct the problem and prevent recurrence. Prompt identification and reporting of a possible cold chain breach will prevent patients from being administered an ineffective vaccine. Now, let's look at the carrier and other equipments which is required to ensure the cold chain movements happen. Reefer trucks and containers for ocean-borne freight are available, narrow-body and wide-body aircraft, along with ullets that can be carried by wide-body aircrafts. Carriers should have a predefined process for checking the integrity of the equipment and maintaining it on a regular basis, and these processes can be part of the overall service agreement between the manufacturer and the carrier. Now, what are good distribution practices? In order to maintain product quality, safety and efficacy during distribution, good distribution practices specify that temperature sensitive products are to be distributed throughout the distribution network as per specified temperature conditions. Good cold chain management practices throughout the distribution network may be instituted by partnering with service providers and customers. So, it is important to educate both your supply chain partners as well as your customers about the practices in vogue today, how modern technology can help, how one should not compromise on the cold chain infrastructure and maintaining the correct temperature. In order to maintain product quality, safety and efficacy during distribution, it is important to raise awareness, communicate and educate supply chain partners as appropriate so that temperature sensitive products are distributed in accordance with product requirements, regulations and industry standards. What is validation? A cold chain can be managed by a quality management system, QMS. It should be analyzed, measured, controlled, documented and validated. The overall approach to validation of a distribution process is by building more and more qualifications on top of each other to get a validated state. This is done by executing a component qualification on the packaging components. Next, an operational qualification that demonstrates the process performs at the operational extremes. And finally, it's the performance qualification that demonstrates that what happens in the real world is within the limits of what was demonstrated in the operational qualification limits. So, the marriage between theory and practice is very, very important in the QMS system. Now, cold chain in retail and food industry. According to a study by the United Nations Environment Program, over half the food produced globally is lost as a result of inefficiency in human managed food chain. Now, we are living in a world where the population is increasing at a much faster rate than what our agricultural produce is. That's why the need to produce more food, more crops per acre of land. Now, all that work, all that investment done by various organizations in the agrochemical sector or in the related agricultural fields will go to waste. If the cold chain transport, you know, cold chain transportation, the cold chain warehousing infrastructure in a country is not maintained. This is especially a lacuna in India, when we produce lot of food, but lot of it is wasted due to inefficient, improper storage infrastructure. Refrigerated foods are one of the fastest growing sectors of the grocery and food service industries. Control of the cold chain is vital to preserve the safety and quality of refrigerated foods and comply with legislative directives and industry codes of practice. It is recommended that stabilized food temperatures are maintained at minus 18 degrees or colder. Retail display cabinets should be at minus 18 to an extent consistent with good storage practice, but not warmer than minus 12. The foods within domestic freezers, this is dependent on the star rating of the freezer. A 3-star freezer is capable of temperatures below minus 18, a 2-star minus 12, and a 1-star below minus 6 only. Two issues that continue to drive best practices for managing cold chain are food safety and food quality, as equally important as pharmaceutical product safety, because you are finally dealing with human beings, the lives and the health of human beings. For produce deliveries, that could include physical inspection of the product as well as the boxes and cartons. Wet or weakened packaging may indicate that there was a breach in the temperature during transportation. Increasingly good temperature control is being achieved throughout the cold food chains as a result of improved equipment design, quality control, and heightened awareness of issues surrounding food safety and quality. Monitoring the cold chain requires detailed information on food product temperatures. Temperature monitoring includes both measurement and recording. Now, here also, like you need to have good transportation, good warehouses, it's also important to have good food packaging to ensure good cold chain perseverance. Packaging plays a key role in protecting the product from contamination by external sources and from damage during its passage from the food producer to the consumer. The choice of packaging is dictated primarily by economic, technical, and legislative factors. A well-designed and consumer-appealing package will help to portray an image of high quality. The primary function of food packaging is to protect the food from external hazards. A wide range of packing material is used for food packaging, include plastic, metals, and other papers. Now, it is equally important that we understand that packaging is equally important for preserving the quality of the food, and packaging should be commensurate with the type of product that's being packed. Here, one of the unfortunate, you know, issues that we have, especially here, is that similar types of refrigerated bodies, chillers, are used to store a multiple varieties of products. So, a food product which needs minus 18 should not be stored in a freezer which can only chill up to minus 12. So, it's important to educate, and it's important that the companies which are dealing with cold chain transportation, companies which are manufacturing products which go into cold chain transportation, work with the manufacturers, etcetera, of pharmaceutical and other products, so that the overall cold chain infrastructure improves and reaches to that level wherein people will have no doubts that when they are using a vaccine or when they are buying a food from any shop, or whether retail supermarket or a normal store, that they are assured of the quality of the product. In this effort, in this direction, the role of logistics is very, very important. Logistics managers who are responsible for cold chain transportation as well as normal should equally devote time towards the cold chain part. You might be living in an environment where your cold chain part is very small, your main business, your main pressure is from the normal category, but still this is a segment which impacts consumers, impacts people directly. So here safety is of paramount importance. So this becomes even more important and should get the desired attention of all logistics managers. Thank you.